I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The theme of today's readings is the Transfiguration, which is the Gospel reading, and the other readings are also selected around that theme. And Transfiguration as a date on the Christian calendar is normally in August, but the revised lectionary framers really wanted to put that theme as the last Sunday before we begin our Lenten journey. And so that's really what I'm going to be reflecting on this morning, is the relationship between this Transfiguration theme to the journey of Lent, which is just before us. The Transfiguration theme is, of course, is about vision. The disciples had a vision of Jesus with Moses and Elijah standing in great glory, and this was one of the moments in the disciples' life that revealed who Jesus was to them. And that that vision of Jesus on the mountaintop there, I have always had the interpretation of that as that being analogous to those moments in my life when I have had a vision of God's glory in whatever form that took. There, certainly in my faith life, I have had moments of transcendence, of closeness to God, of feeling overwhelmed by the nearness of God, and so on. These things marked the beginning, particularly, of my faith journey, and really are the heart of why I started down this spiritual path in a serious way. It wasn't a matter of trusting what my elders told me. It wasn't a matter of being a good person. It was a matter of something happened in my experience that tore my heart open and made me think there was something to this Christianity business that I could feel at a visceral level. And so I've always had this text as a symbolic expression of that in the scripture, that I've had my mountaintop experiences, and those experiences sort of lent a character to what came after in terms of my ongoing journey, because my ongoing journey was not a matter of having those experiences all the time. Certainly, having awakened to faith in a charismatic context, there was a trap in the charismatic world of seeking those experiences and judging your faith by the presence or absence of those experiences. So if you're having a mountaintop experience, that's great. Your faith is great. You're close to God. You're feeling awesome, and everything is awesome. And if you're not, then there's something wrong with you, and you need to get back to feeling that right away. And if you don't get back to feeling that right away, you better fake it so other people think, at least, you're having those experiences. And so you get the joy of the Lord, kind of like this, and you have to be like this all the time, because isn't it great? Which isn't human experience. It's not like that. But we do have these mountaintop moments. We do. And I think that if you think through your spiritual history, you can probably identify one or two or three or a few of these mountaintop moments where John Wesley, who talked about his heart being strangely warmed. I always love that expression, that there's just something that happened. You can't put a name on it, but there was something there that defies words, and yet something was revealed to you in that moment. So that, for me, is the analogy for this Transfiguration Sunday. That in the spiritual journey, that's what Transfiguration Sunday is about. It's about those moments of revelation and of vision. And so you have Elisha's vision of the chariots of God and the horsemen that was symbolic of Elisha taking on the mantle of prophecy and being able to speak with the Holy Spirit, because he had that vision that empowered him and in fact led him on, that there was a confirmation of his calling in his ability to connect to that vision. Paul writes about the minds of those who haven't had these visions as being veiled. The reality is still there, but they can't see it. They can't see what you and I have seen. Now, when you take this idea of this mountaintop experience, this vision of Christ in his glory standing with Moses and Elijah, which expresses some eternal truth about who Jesus is and what our faith is connecting to, the relationship with the season of Lent from the perspective of an analogy to the spiritual journey, that's what I'm doing here. I'm looking at the spiritual journey, I'm looking at my spiritual journey and the spiritual journey of everybody here, and saying, if the Transfiguration is like those experiences that have opened us up to the presence of God in the universe, in our life, then what is the wisdom of having that vision set just before the journey of Lent? And my answer to that is that the Christian practice, Christian life, is less a matter of seeking out visions than it is a matter of learning what it's like to die to yourself and rise to new life. That's the Christian journey. When you say, I am going to be baptized, I'm going to live as a Christian person, I am on this journey of walking in the footsteps of Christ and dying to myself and rising to new life. And that is a Lenten journey. That's what Lent is all about. It's that death that leads to new life. And that part of that is following vocation. Part of that, it ties into all the other things about what the Christian life is about. Caring for others is about dying to yourself and living for others and so on. That moment can sometimes be very devoid of mountaintop experiences. That process sometimes is a grind. Sometimes it's a slog. Sometimes you're saying, the other wonderful analogy is the Israelites wandering through the wilderness for 40 years, saying, at least in Egypt we got to eat. And here all we have is these manna flakes for breakfast, for lunch, for dinner. Like, really? We left Egypt for this. And the Christian journey can feel like that when it has its Lenten moments. And it has Lenten times and seasons. Sometimes it's a big one, sometimes it's a small one. But there are Lenten times when you don't want to die to yourself particularly, but life is forcing you to do so. You just can't have the things that you used to have. And so you have to learn to let them go. And this is part of the journey of dying to the old self and rising to the new. And in those moments, it's tempting to say, why did I even start this spiritual path? Wouldn't it be easier if I just lived like everybody else with that veil over their face, living for the materialism and commercialism and all the normal things that normal people do? And that's where the vision comes in. Because I know that for me, I have those moments like everybody else. I say, why did I do this? But I cannot shake the fact that God has come to me in my life. And that vision continues to empower me even through those dark periods. And the journey of Lent goes from darkness to greater darkness to greater darkness before it turns around. And so you think ahead to Holy Week, where it's the darkest of the dark. Christ is on the cross. The disciples are going, what the heck? Did we do all this? Did we follow Jesus, give everything up to follow Jesus in his ministry for this? Jesus dying on a cross. And it's in that moment that the vision comes back to their memory, as it does for mine, and says, but I cannot shake that we saw something. So even if it hurts, even if we don't understand it, even if we don't like it, even if we want to scream to the heavens, like the Psalms do, by the way, and say, God, you're a jerk, why do you do this to us? In the middle of that, there is the vision of God's glory that is undeniable, that we saw, that we participated in. And that can give us the strength to get through that journey to the other side. So we have the Transfiguration to remind us as disciples that the vision is what the Lenten journey is about. That the Lenten journey is about glory. It is about wholeness and transcendence and being one with God and being in a condition of love and beauty and truth and goodness. That's what the Lenten journey is about, even when it doesn't feel that way. So when our life goes into those Lenten times, remember those mountaintop experiences and cherish them. They are gifts, and they are gifts given for a purpose. They are gifts to get us through the Lent times. Thanks be to God. Amen.